Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm really glad to be with you today. I've been talking about temptation, and actually I'm in a little series, and it's not so little. Actually, we're on the 28th or 29th program, I think, or 28th program. No, I think this is 28th, that's right. Okay, we're talking about temptation. We also talked about it last time, but this time we're going to go into depth about Jesus' own temptation there in the wilderness. Okay, but look on theliberatingsecret.org, and you will find all the scriptures outlined there in this booklet called the Christ Our Life Ministry Scriptural Basis. Okay, before we go to Jesus' own temptation, so we can get some understanding about when we're tempted, because he was tempted like all of us, let's go back to James and read a little bit more about what temptation is, and then we're going to go to Jesus' own temptation. Okay, the last thing I read in James was, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, because that's a blessed place. So you're not out of sorts or out of God's will because you're feeling all these pressures of temptations coming down on you. Not at all. This is actually a blessed place, a place of joy, James says. For when he is tried, when we are tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And we see that's the wonderful understanding of having a spirit revelation and understanding from the mind of Christ. You see, that's the crown. A crown is on your head. The crown of authority is when you understand you have a real word of authority, because that's where you know you're a spirit person. So that's the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him and continue to seek his face in the middle of their trials and tribulations, instead of trying to find relief everywhere else. That's what we're doing in our world today. There's so many pseudo saviors around that we're rushing to everybody and everything else, instead of rushing into the Lord and finding his way in the middle of this trial, and seeing that that certainly is a part of the Christian life. Okay, verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So we're not saying it's God that's tempting us at all. But God is using the temptation of Satan. Of course, it's coming from the evil one. But he's using that as a trial that's going to purify us, because God uses everything. Isn't that a mighty God that he would even use some of the works of the devil and the attempts of the devil to pull us into unbelief? And that's what temptation is the attempt of the devil to pull you in unbelief, pull you away from who you really are, and cause you to walk after the flesh and forget who you are. Actually, that's what the devil's trying to do. God is going to use that to bring the point of who you really are, because he always uses opposites. So he uses the oppositional pulls from the devil, but he himself is not tempting you. Only that's not coming from him, but he's using that as a trial. So God is the sovereign Lord of the universe, not the devil. The devil only has temporary power that's given to him only because we really give it to him ourselves. So we've got to learn not to give the devil any power. Let him be what he is, the poor old fool. Let him be what he is, but don't give him any power. That's the point. You don't have to fight him. You don't have to fear him. You don't have to, try to get out of our temptations. We've got to know how to have the authority over him. And the authority is that Christ has already won the victory. But we've got to learn that through our trials and temptations. Okay, now it says, this is in verse 14, it says what a temptation is. Now, 14 is telling us what a temptation is. 15 is actually saying what a sin is. So temptation, yes, is the first form of sin. It is. It's not sin, but the first form of me being pulled away into unbelief, because everything that's not of faith in Christ is really sin. It's pulled into unbelief and believing who we're not and walking in that false reality, that lie, you see. Okay, so what does it say in verse 14? But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now let's interpret that. Enticement. So it's an enticement. And we're drawn away of our own lust. Well, in a temptation, now people, you know, you've heard me say that when the lust that we have is not even the lust of us, of our lust. It's the lust that the devil makes us think is ours. So what is this talking about? It's saying my own lust. Well, lust basically is strong desire. As flesh, as human beings, we have desire on three levels, really. Bodily desire, I wouldn't eat if I didn't have hunger. It causes me to be hungry. I desire food. I desire on my soul level companionship and friendship. And I desire on my spirit level because I desire the things of God. So I'm three levels of desire. And so when the devil pulls on my soul and my body, and that's where I'm tempted in my flesh, he's pulling me to make me think, because he's enticing me, to make me think that I'm desiring and wanting something that I shouldn't have, but having it would fulfill me. You see, that's what he's enticing me to believe. And that's a strong desire. Or the Bible says, my own lust. Well, actually, it comes from the fact that I have desires in my flesh. Well, he's tempting me to believe that I'm going to really lust for something that would be evil to lust for, which eventually would end up being his own lust. That's the way he thinks. You see, Jesus said of the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you do. So Satan is causing his thoughts of lust to come inside of our minds. They're not even our lust. That's what, one time I went to a church, and this is kind of a bold thing, especially for a woman to say. I said, I have good news for all you men. These lustful thoughts that you have that you know are not God, they're not you either. They're coming from Satan. They're the lust of your former owner, Satan. They're not from you. And some men don't want to get rid of those thoughts, and some men are condemned by them and want to be delivered. Well, that's a happy day to know that they're not even coming from you, because what do? We beat ourselves up for, oh my gosh, I had that thought. Oh my gosh, I felt that. Oh my gosh, you know, I must be so evil. No, they're not coming from you. They're coming from Satan, but they start in your flesh realm. He tempts your flesh and the desires that are in your flesh. He puts then his lust on top of your fleshly desires, you see, and then causes you, and entices you to think, make you think that you want something that is evil for you, and cause you to forget who you really are and move out and operate in who you're not. Well, the common way to describe that would be if you are a man or a woman and you started having all these lustful feelings for the someone of the opposite sex, and you're a married person. Well, those thoughts and feelings, you know, at first, if we just know that really the real intent of our heart is not to misuse ourselves or the other person. See, that's the spirit intent in my heart, because that's what Jesus wants. But if I live from my soul feelings, then I'm going to be tricked and enticed to think that, and I'm going to, in my imagination, I'm going to start setting my imagination on what that would look like, what it would, how it would fulfill me, how it would make my flesh feel good. Though that is not coming from you. That's coming from the outside. That's Satan enticing you, making you think that your natural feelings, which are, you know, you might be attracted to the other person. Well, there are attractions that are not evil, you know. And in the real intent of your heart is that you want only the best for that other person. So if you really can understand yourself, you can say, oh, Lord, no, wait a minute. I'm not going to see what the devil is saying. What the devil says, he's lying to me again, because that's all he can do is lie. He's lying to me. And you can stand in the spirit truth of who you are and say, I don't really want this for myself. I want him to, or I want her to find Jesus, or I want her to know what I know. And so I thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to try to, you know, not to feel this way, but I'm going to believe by faith you're greater than this and you're going to handle this. You see, quit trying to manage your own temptations. You can't. When Satan knocks at your door and causes you to lust things that you know that it's not really your lust and it's not really your thoughts, it's his thoughts in your mind. You say, wait a minute. You know, my husband had that for years. And he said, Lord, you know I don't want those thoughts. Those aren't your thoughts. I have your mind now. So I thank you, Lord, that you're going to overcome that. And guess what? He does. And he's given him victory over all that. And you men have a lot to learn on that level. When you really, sometimes I think people like their lustful thoughts too much. They like their demons too much, you know, to want deliverance. So it has to come to a head. Satan has to go too far to make you realize, this is not what I want. This is not right. This is not what I want. Then you can start understanding how to handle temptations. You can start realizing that my humanity is helpless to all these solicitations. I can't keep myself from these enticements that come on me, but yet I've got the one who has perfect resistance, which is the Holy Spirit. I have one who is the greatest keeper, who will keep me from sinning because I'm trusting in his keeping power. I'm not trusting in my own. The problem is a lot of us believe in our own keeping power. There's a verse in Jude, and I like this. It's Jude 24. It says this, now unto him, that is Jesus, who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's able to keep you. You can't keep yourself, and you've got to learn that. You will never keep yourself from temptations, and you don't have to be condemned over temptations either. That's another pitfall. But a big pitfall is that I can keep myself. You've got to learn that you're helpless in these enticements, that you better call out for Jesus because he's the power that's already overcome the devil. And that's what my husband has learned. He's found victory. He's a different person today because he has found victory there, and hopefully he'll be able to give those testimonies to some of you men that suffer with those temptations that plague you, and you blame yourself because you think you're evil. You're not. You're just listening to the enticements of Satan, who is outside of you but plants thoughts right in your mind because he speaks to you. Just like, now how does he do that? Okay, I'm speaking to you now. You're hearing my voice. I'm putting thoughts in your head. That doesn't mean I'm in your head, but I'm speaking to you, so you're hearing that, and it is putting thoughts in your head. That's exactly, Satan's not in my head, but he's certainly projecting those thoughts in my head the same way I'm doing right now. Anybody that talks to you would do that. So, but it doesn't mean that Satan's there, but he certainly can tempt you to make you think that he's still in you and condemns you and accuses you for being tempted. We don't have to be accused for being tempted. Every man's tempted. That's common among men. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. All right, now number 15 says, and when lust has conceived, it bring forth sin. Okay, so what is the, so we believe this enticement of Satan, and when lust has conceived, okay, we have evil thoughts. I mean, so the thoughts come in us, and our imagination goes off here and there, and we imagine what this and that would look like or feel like or be like, you see. Well, then it still hasn't conceived. It's not until I say, I'm going to do it. You see, that's when it brings forth sin. So you have willed against, you know, your own being, really. You've taken a leap of faith into the devil's lie, and you're believing what Satan says. And so you have swallowed the lie. So when lust has conceived, when his lust that's brought such this beautiful imaginary picture in your mind, and you are under that delusion, and then it's not just, I want to do this, because temptation is, I want to do it. Jesus wanted to do the evil things. He had to, or he would not have been tempted. But when you say, I will do it, you've made a choice. Then lust has conceived. There's a conception. You'd married this lie. And when you marry the lie, then it brings forth sin. And the Bible says, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And the Bible also says on the front end, it seems pleasurable. It seems wonderful. But when it, the end result of it, it brings death, devastation. And it absolutely breaks up families and tears people apart. It brings forth death. So know that on the front end, that, but people, we can know, it, when we know the difference between sin and temptation, we can know that just because I think in my imagination I might want something, that's Satan enticing me to make me think I want it. Know that in my spirit, as we saw when we did the lesson on the difference between soul and spirit, we saw that in my spirit, that's not the intent of my heart. I don't really want that. I don't really want to destroy somebody's life. I don't really want to destroy my own life. I don't really want to go that far, you see, because Christ is in me. He doesn't want it, and he wants to be delivered from this. And so we can find the way of deliverance right in the middle of our temptation. It says that in 1 Corinthians when it talks about every man is tempted. It's common to man. It says there will be a way of escape. Well, in the midst of it, in the middle of the temptation, there is a way of escape. And how is that when we turn towards the Lord? Lord, I'm powerless over this. This has me. I'm weak. I can't manage this. I can't handle this. Can you come? Can you be my strength? And then by faith, I'm going to believe you are my strength. You are my keeping power. You know, my precious friend Brian Coatney has a wonderful thing that he says, and I think we've kind of coined it to mean the Keeper's Creed. Well, what is the Keeper's Creed? This is what he says, and this is a very good thing to say. I will commit any sin left to myself. So I'm not going to promise God that I won't sin. I'm going to say, oh, yeah, I will. See, that's another trick. If you're still believing in yourself, you're going to believe, well, somehow I won't do this, or I couldn't do this, or I can't do this. Don't ever think you can't do something. Then you're opening up the possibility that you're able to keep yourself from it. See, admit right off on the front end, I'm unable. I have no keeping power. Jesus, you're my keeping power. So you're the one that's going to keep me and preserve me to the day, to the end, to the very end. I can't keep myself, and I will commit any sin. This is the Keeper's Creed. I will commit any sin, lest you keep me. But I'm believing you will keep me. It's not good enough to say that you will keep me. Then I can say, well, you can keep me. Yes, it's not good enough for me to just say you can keep me. Of course he can, and of course he will. I have to take a leap of faith and say, I'm saying, even though I'm tempted, I'm a kept person because you're my keeping power. I'm trusting you to be my keeping power. And you know what? That becomes a fixation inside of us as we take that by faith. And then those temptations don't have the power they used to. They don't draw you away as easily as they used to because you're believing in the place that Satan wants to draw us into is unbelief. Is forgetting who you are, forgetting that Christ is in you, forgetting that he's your keeping power, and then by the power of your own flesh, falsely believing that you have the power to keep yourself. So I'm going to try not to do it next time. Don't tell God you're going to try to do it, not try to do it. Tell him you will do it, but you're my keeping power. Thank you, Jesus. You are keeping me, and so therefore I'm a kept person by faith. So you take that by the leap of faith, and guess who the keeping power, that's who you're giving power to, not the devil and all his lies. You're giving power to Almighty God, who has big hands and knows how to deliver me out of my temptations and knows how to keep me. And by the way, you know, then Satan has no power. As soon as I know that I know that I know, Satan has no power over us. And we start understanding his tricks and understanding how he tries to accuse us to get us down into unbelief. And how the power, and we just know we I don't have belief in my flesh. That's what he's trying to get me to believe in. My own flesh keeping power. Oh, no, I can't keep myself. And don't condemn your husband because, or your wife, because they can't keep yourself. If you're doing that, you're still believing that you're able to. You see, we ought to have mercy on each other and realize none of us can keep ourselves. Oh, but I'm living by the keeping power of the mighty Lord Jesus Christ, who keeps me and kept, if he kept Jesus, if God the Father kept Jesus, he will keep you and does keep you. And you take a leap of faith and say, he is keeping me. Well, let's go. And I don't think we have a whole lot of time. And if you get on the Liberating Secret website, you will see, you know, a lot of commentary to temptation. And you will see me go through the three temptations in the wilderness. Okay, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It says that in Matthew. It says in Mark that he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So if Jesus was driven and led by the Spirit, you will be driven and led by the Spirit into places you don't want to go. Now, if he had to be led and driven, that means that there was an element in him that didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. So, but God drove him there to be tempted of Satan, because he had to learn what it meant, what it means to be a perfect nothing, to have no power in his human flesh against temptation. That's what we've got to learn, that I have no power in and of myself to keep myself, or to keep myself from temptation, or keep myself from the solicitations of Satan. I have no power, but I'm going to, and so I'm weak flesh, and it's okay, it's right to be weak flesh, but I'm going to live by the power of God. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. Now we be weak in him, yet we live by the power of God. We've got to know as human beings how to be perfectly weak and perfectly well contented to be weak, because it's right, because I'm not living by my own flesh sufficiencies. I'm living by the life and power of the life of another, which is Christ within me. Okay, Jesus goes into the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights. Then, and he fasted, and he was hungry. After that, he was, then the devil came to him to tempt him in three different ways. Three different temptations, one in his body, one in his soul, one in his spirit. Body temptation by the lust of his eye, that was a temptation. Soulish temptation by the lust of his flesh. And the third temptation was spirit temptation, the pride of life. So what did he do to tempt him to have the lust of the eye? Well, he was hungry. He said, here's a stone. You've got the mighty power. If you're the Son of God, turn that into bread so you can eat. You're hungry. Oh, Jesus had to realize that he did not live by any outer sufficiencies in his body. So just getting outer food would not suffice him. He lived by the internal word of God. So that's how he spoke back. But he was weak. You see, when you're in a temptation, you don't know how to speak back to Satan. You're confused because in our minds and in his mind, there was some confusion. That's what temptation does to us, confuses. But he then replaced it with the Spirit, and he waited on the Spirit to answer. So he didn't know the answer. He waited. And as he waited, the Spirit rose up through him and says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, as the scripture says, then he was tempted on the soul level. Cast your body off of this, off of the pinnacle of this temple, and the angel will catch you. In other words, if you're the Son of God, which is doubt in who you really are, then go ahead and perform. If you do this, then an angel is going to catch you anyway. You have charge over the angels. If you're really the one that is a Messiah, you've got charge over the angels. Do it and prove that you're the Son of God. See, he didn't have to prove it. That was on the soul level. And he answered, don't tempt the Lord thy God. I am the Son of God. Third was in his spirit level, the pride of life. I'm going to give you all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus had to want them. But they would be without the cross, and they would be without the full redemption of the body of Christ. So he said, get behind me, Satan. but he felt the pull of wanting all the kingdoms of the world apart from his cross. It was a real temptation, but yet he answered, and the Spirit is the one that answered out through him and said, which was the pride of life, that he would have had all this in and of himself, which would have been arrogance. And he resisted by the Spirit. He didn't resist by his own flesh. He resisted by depending on the Spirit. Now that he came out weak, the angels had to minister to him. And then his anointing came to preach the gospel. So if Jesus was tempted 40 days and it took him that long to get through his temptation, we're going to have these temptations as well. It probably takes us longer. So I see our time's over. Just know that you're human. You're going to be tempted. It's right to be tempted. It's wrong to try to fight them. It's wrong to try to overcome them. But Christ has already overcome it all. So thank you for joining us. And please join us next time for The Liberating Secret. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.